अमज्ञानतिमिरान्धश्चेनान्यनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनःभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं नृपः पदामिहं ददाति स पदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगुणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितां कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कन्त राधकन्त नमस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधिवृन्दावनेश्वरी विशाभानुसुते देवी प्राणमामि हरिप्रिये। मञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च अतीतानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवशादि गुरुभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम। मुखं करति वाचालं अङ्गं लङ्घायति गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं विनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमिश्रं। श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 29 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द प्रचेतस। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। जनोपशंतिर भूतानां जनोपशंतिर भूतानां शुल्लकानामपि हताम् शुल्लकानामपि हताम् अन्तर्हितान्तर्हृदये अन्तर्हितान्तर्हृदये कस्मान्न वेदनाशिष अस्मन्न वेदनाशिष। जेनोपशन्तिर्भूतानां शुल्लकानामपि हताम् अन्तर्हितान्तर्हृदये अस्मन्न वेदनाशिष। जेनोपशन्तिर्भूतानां शुल्लकानामपि हताम् अन्तर्हितान्तर्हृदये अस्मन्न वेदनाशिष। जेनोपशन्तिर्भूतानां शुल्लकानामपि हताम् अन्तर्हितान्तर्हृदये अस्मन्न वेदनाशिष। Yes. सन्तिर् भूतानां क्षुल्लकानामपि हताम् Shantihi, satisfaction of all desires, Bhutanam, of the living entities, Shullakanam, very much fallen, Api, although, Ihatam, desiring many things, Antarhitah, hidden, Antaharidaye, in the core of the heart. Kashmat, why? No, our. Veda, he knows. No, not. Ashisha, desires. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. When the Lord, out of His natural compassion, thinks of His devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart. Although the living entity may be very insignificant, the Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all His desires. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? Purport. A very advanced devotee does not think himself advanced. He is always very humble. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His plenary expansion as the Paramatma or Supersoul, sits in everyone's heart and can understand the attitudes and desires of His devotees. The Lord also gives opportunity to the non-devotees to fulfill their desires, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mattaho Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Whatever a living entity desires, however insignificant he may be, is noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. If the desires of the non-devotees are fulfilled, why not those of the devotee? A pure devotee simply wants to engage in the service of the Lord without material desires. And if he wants this within the core of his heart, where the Lord is situated, and if he is without ulterior motive, why should the Lord not understand? If a sincere devotee renders service to the Lord, or to the Archa Vigraha, the form of the Lord, all his activities prove successful, because the Lord is present within his heart and understands his sincerity. Thus, if a devotee with all confidence goes on discharging the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will ultimately attain success. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Sharupa Damodara Swamini Tinamini Namashat Bhaktamane Manipura Udbhavaya Cha Prabhu Padala Shatvani Prachara Niratayate. Hare Krishna. Just yesterday afternoon, Padmapada Prabhu told me that I have to give a class and I could not prepare sufficiently. Also, I got a little cold and cough, so please bless me so that I can speak few words. So, this chapter is called The Activities of the Prachetas. The Prachetas, they underwent severe austerities under ocean for 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years of chanting the prayer given to them by Lord Shiva, they could please the Lord. And at last, Lord Vishnu, in a special form, generally Vishnu has got four hands, but when he appeared in front of the Prachetas, he appeared with eight hands. So in this way, Lord appeared in front of the Prachetas, and now Prachetas are offering their prayers to that Vishnu form. And this is one of the prayer. The Lord asked them to ask for some boon, some benedictions. So in response, the Prachetas, they are expressing their feelings. When the Lord, out of his natural compassion, thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all the desires of the neophyte devotees fulfilled. So, according to this verse, when Lord just thinks something, Lord is called Ichchamaya. Whatever he thinks, it becomes a practical fact. So when Lord thinks something about his devotees, automatically all the desires of his devotees are fulfilled. Even the desires of non-devotees are fulfilled. God, Krishna, sanctions in the form of Paramatma, as he is always living within our heart. So he can immediately understand our desires in details. Even in our most fallen condition, most wretched condition, Lord can immediately understand our desires. And he is so kind that he fulfills our all desires. He is called Bancha Kalpaturu. Just like the Vaishnavas are also called Bancha Kalpaturu. they can fulfill all the desires of everyone. This is a reflection of God's quality. A pure devotee is called Bancha Kalpaturu because God himself, Krishna himself, is Bancha Kalpaturu. Krishna fulfills the desire of everyone. Similarly, a pure devotee, he has that ability because he is a reflection of Krishna. He actually carries Krishna's qualities. Through him, Krishna can manifest, Krishna can empower his qualities through his devotees. So the devotees are also called Banchakalpataru. And Krishna himself is also Banchakalpataru. He fulfills our all desires. There is a story, the narration in Puranas, that when Krishna appeared as Vamanadev in the arena of sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, at that time, as far as I remember, his sister Ratnabali was present there. And when Ratnabali saw Krishna in the form of Vamanadev, a sweet child, in the form of a sweet child. So Ratnabali immediately thought that if I could have a baby like him as my son, it would be very nice. So immediately Vamanadev, he noted down the desire of Ratnabali. Then after some time, when Bali Maharaj asked, "What do you want? What can I offer you?" So then Vamanadeva told, "I want only 3 steps of land." So in the plea or in the excuse of taking 3 steps of land, ultimately he took everything from Bali Maharaj. So Ratnabali got very angry, very upset. And she immediately thought that if I could kill the child, I want to kill the child. So this is also one kind of desire. So the Lord immediately noted down, okay, you want to kill me. So these two desires are contradictory. The first desire was, I want to have a child like him. And the next desire was that I want to kill him. So it is a very contradictory desire. How can a mother can kill her child? But Krishna is Banchakalpataru. He can fulfill all our desires, even our contradictory desires. So when he appeared as Krishna, these Ratnabali became Putana. Many of you know these incidents. Ratnabali became Putana. So Putana served Krishna as mother because she offered her breast milk to Krishna. So in this way, Ratnabali's first desire that I want to have a child like Krishna, I want to be his mother. So that desire was fulfilled by feeding Krishna her breast milk. And as she wanted to kill Krishna, she actually, although she went to feed Krishna her breast milk, but her motive was to kill Krishna. Krishna cannot be killed. But anyway, she got the chance to feed Krishna with poison. So in this way we see how opposing desires are fulfilled by Krishna. Krishna is so kind. So that's why whatever is happening in our life is nothing but our desires. And Krishna sometimes sanctions, of course, he is the controller. If he wants, sometimes he will sanction, sometimes he may not sanction. Especially when we get human form of life, sometimes he can also divert, or he can also intervene in our desires. Sometimes he controls our desires. Sometimes we want something bad, but Krishna doesn't sanction. Sometimes. But in general cases, in maximum cases, when we are traveling through 84 lakhs of species of life, in maximum lifetimes, Krishna fulfills practically our all desires. And we maintain many nasty desires, life after life. We grow our desires one after another. When we enjoy one kind of desires, then we think, oh, now we can enjoy another kind of desires. Sometimes we think, oh, we like to enjoy, dry wood. Okay, Krishna fulfills. You want to enjoy dry wood, my dear child? Okay, you become a termite. When you will eat dry wood, you will feel nectar. God has the power. He creates an illusion that even in dry wood, the termite, when he eats dry wood, he feels nectar. Sometimes I may think, oh, now I have tasted dry wood, now I want to taste stone. God sanctions. Okay, you want to enjoy stone? So God, I heard that some kind of insects are there, they eat stone. So they derive some kind of nectar from eating stone. If there is no pleasure, if there is no enjoyment, why they will eat stone? Sometimes the spirit soul, one wants to enjoy stool. Okay, in human life you cannot enjoy, but I will give you a special body, special sense, so that you can even enjoy stool in the septic tank or in as a hookworm. You can enjoy stool even. You will feel nectar in the stool. Many animals, they enjoy rotten flesh. But when they enjoy, they feel like nectar. So this illusory feeling is there. Sometimes we say that material enjoyment is like sweet rice mixed with sand. But practically, in a deeper sense, there is no sweet rice, there is only sand. Really, there is no sweet rice. Sand mixed with sand. Otherwise, you see, when a jackal eats some rotten flesh, he feels nectar. But when a human being smells that rotten flesh, he vomits. So where is the sweet rice? It's only, rubbish. But the jackal, he doesn't feel that it is rubbish. He feels that it is really nectar. It is really nectar. He becomes mad. I have seen just near our house, I have seen that somebody buried a dog, dead dog. And after 2-3 days, some jackal came and they removed the mud and they pulled out the dead body of the dog and they enjoyed. So they are mad after this rotten smell, which is actually very, very abominable. And human being, they vomit. If they will die if you are forced to stay there one night. I am sure you will surely die with that bad smell. So what is death for me is a nectar for that jackal. So for jackal it is sweet rice. For jackal it is very nice. So whatever material pleasure we are enjoying here, so-called enjoyment, is completely illusory. From the platform of demigod, it is very, very abominable. That's why when demigods are cursed, they come here sometimes. Many demigods being cursed, they took birth as a human being. And that is from the level of demigod. But if you go higher and higher, above demigods, above heaven, there is Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, like this. Then Kailash, then Vaikuntha, then Goloka. So if you go higher and higher and higher, the lower position becomes abominable. So from higher stage, one can understand that there is no sweet rice. There is only sand mixed with sand. But because our consciousness is covered with illusory energy of the Lord, so we think that there is some sweet rice. And when we feel pain, oh, there is some sand also. So generally we think that this material enjoyment is like sweet rice mixed with sand. But practically speaking, it is completely abominable. Bad smell is always there. Four bad smells: Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vedhi. Birth, old age, disease. Birth, Janma, Mrityu, death, old age, disease. These four bad smells are there everywhere. Abrahma, Bhavana, Loka. From lowest planet to the Brahmaloka, highest planet of this material world, this bad smell of birth, old age, disease and death is always there. Prabhupada gave the example of dry stool and liquid stool. Liquid stool is of course very horrible, abominable. Dry stool may be less smell, but still dry stool. So here is sweet rice. If the heavenly pleasure is compared with dry stool, there is no sweet rice practically speaking. But due to illusion, we think we are enjoying sweet rice. We cannot give it up. So the Lord is so kind, okay? You want to enjoy, I will give you all facilities. Whatever you want to enjoy. You want to enjoy dead flesh, you want to enjoy wood as termite, whatever you like to enjoy, I will give facilities. If somebody wants to enjoy sex life in different ways, which is not available in human life, so God sanctions, okay, you become dog, you become monkey, you become chimpanzee. So in this way, God gives facilities after facilities, facilities after facilities. Because it is, ultimately it is illusory pleasure, and with the help of God's illusory energy, He fulfills all the desires. So in this way, you know, from lower kind of, you know, desires, lower kind of sensual pleasures, we are slowly, by God's mercy, we come through the evolutionary process, ultimately we get human birth, where we can understand little bit, oh, this is, you know, especially when you get association of devotees. When you get association of devotees, then slowly you can understand, even heavenly pleasure is useless. Heavenly pleasure and hellish pleasure, even in hellish condition there is some kind of pleasure. Even in hell, sometimes those who are living in hell, they also think you are also enjoying something. Hellish pleasure and heavenly pleasure, Prabhupada said, both are equivalent. Not much difference, equivalent. But there is another pleasure, the bliss. That is beyond hellish and heavenly pleasure. That is pure devotional, pure love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the real pleasure, that is not illusory, that is not illusory. So in human form of life, if we get the association of some pure devotees, so then we get the information, yes, there is real pleasure, there is real sweet rice. Not sweet rice mixed with sand or sand mixed with sand. There is a real bliss, real pleasure, unlimited ocean of pleasure. And that is pure love. So then, by the association of devotees, with the association of devotees, slowly we can purify our soul from the, as we are absorbed in illusory energy. So, by devotional process, slowly we can purify our existence, and finally we can also taste that spiritual bliss. So here the prachetas, they express their humility. That although you are very insignificant, still you know the desires of our heart. Actually, in our immature stage, we cannot understand the nature of Lord. He is so magnanimous, so great. We cannot guess the vastness of His knowledge, the vastness of His mercy. We cannot guess even. He knows our all history, life after life, in details. He has full attention to each of us. We cannot realize His attention. We are made up for attention. Somebody should give me attention. Everybody, so it is soul's nature that soul wants attention. Somebody should give me attention, and I should give attention to somebody. It's natural. And this attention, the Lord gives special attention to even in our wretched, insignificant condition, when we are most fallen, when we become like hookworms or worms in the stool, then also, I mean, under any circumstances, we get the highest attention from Lord. He gives personal attention to every living entity. It may be surprising to us because our brain is very small. We cannot understand. That's why He expanded Himself as Paramatma. Paramatma is residing in every atom, in every living entity. Why? Because He wants to give attention to everything, especially to every living entities. He wants to give attention. Why you cannot realize his attention? Because we don't like, we don't want his attention. Because if we can understand that he is giving attention to us, then how can we enjoy ravished thing? I want to enjoy ravished thing, so I want to avoid his attention. That is my desire. My dear Lord, I don't want your attention. I want to enjoy all these ravished things. So please don't give attention to me. So Lord understand, okay. You don't want my attention, at least I'll hide my attention. I'll still be attentive to you, but I'll be hiding my attention. That's why Lord is hiding. We cannot understand that he is attentively watching. Prabhupada gave a nice example that some children are playing in the sea beach. near ocean, they are playing with some sands. And the guardian, the parents, they are sitting under a tree. They are not playing, they are just sitting under a tree. The children are playing for hours. And the guardian, they are waiting. Why they are waiting? Because they know these children, once after playing for hours, they will be tired. And then they will call, they will come back, they will remember. They will remember their parents. So that's why parents are waiting under a tree, although they are not playing, but they are waiting. Similarly, in the form of Paramatma, just like the parents waiting under a tree, but giving attention to their children, that they should not fall in the water, they should not be quarreling, or they should not be, they should not face some danger. So the parents, although they are sitting, but they are keeping giving attention. Similarly, Lord as Paramatma, he is giving full attention to us. But we are not attentive to them. They are waiting. When we will become attentive, when we will give our care, when we will become serious, sincere, to meet our most beloved, for only for that moment he is waiting. Sometimes he is calling. Sometimes he is calling in different way. He has unlimited ways to call us. So he is calling, he is reminding, especially in human form, he is giving chance. I am not ready. Now my game is not over, I want to play more. So in this way Lord is just waiting life after life, until and unless I become completely fed up, completely frustrated and completely tired. The Lord is waiting and giving us chance to fulfill our all desires, and he knows our all desires. He knows everything. He knows our name, he knows my name, he knows your name. He knows everybody's name. We have our permanent names, we have our permanent identity, and he knows everything. He knows our material history also. Life after life, what we have done in our material reincarnations, rebirths, whatever we have done, the Lord knows everything. Details, he forgets nothing. He forgets nothing, he knows everything. Sometimes you read in Bhagavatam that millions of years ago a devotee desired something. Millions of years ago. And after millions of years, I think in the narration of Uddhava, millions of years ago he wanted to serve Lord. So the Lord Krishna noted down, okay. But he gave chance after millions of years. So in this way, whatever desire we have, Krishna keeps record. In proper time, I'll fulfill your all desires. That's why God has created this material time. Because our desires are unlimited. So he has created unlimited time. Okay, you can fulfill your desires. The Lord can also concentrate the time. If you want to turn up, if you want to face toward the Lord and wants to go back to Lord, he can concentrate the time and he can give chance to go back to him. The Lord is called Antarjami. In Bhagavad Gita, సర్వశ్చాహం మృది సన్నివిష్ట మత్తః స్మృతిర్గేనం అపోహనంచ. సర్వశ్చాహం మృది సన్నివిష్ట, ఐ ఎమ్ సిచ్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీవన్స్ హార్ట్. మత్తః స్మృతిర్గేనం, ఫ్రమ్ మీ మెమరీ కమ్స్, నాలెడ్జ్ కమ్స్, ఈవెన్ ఫర్గెట్ఫుల్నెస్. వై ఫర్గెట్ఫుల్నెస్ ఇస్ రిక్వైర్డ్? Sometimes forgetfulness is also required. If you want to do some nasty thing, then forgetfulness helps. If you know the real thing, you cannot do nasty thing. So that's why Krishna makes you forget the real truth, so that we can continue with our nasty desires, nasty things. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta, and he is sitting within our heart. Every moment he is noting down our desire. In general, he is fulfilling. Bhavagrahi, even with devotee, he is called Bhavagrahi, Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He only takes our internal feeling, internal mood. Pujari is offering to Lord. Sometimes he pronounces mantra, not in a proper way, not correctly. Murkha vadati vishnaya, dhira vadati vishnave, ubhayastu shamang punnam bhavagrahi janardana. The scholar, he pronounced the mantra properly. But a person who is not much educated, illiterate, when he offers something to Lord, he pronounced the mantra in wrong way. Vishnaya, he says, Om Vishnaya Namo. Wrong, it's wrong. The correct one is Om Vishnave Namo. But Lord doesn't care whether you have said Vishnaya or Vishnave. He doesn't care for that. He cares, he knows the language of our heart. He only reads the language of our heart. He sees what is his mood, what is his attitude. That he accepts. You see in the life of Prabhupada, Prabhupada sometimes, when you read Prabhupada's lecture, recently I was reading one lecture, so I found there is some mistake. He says that King Dasharatha has three wives, and one wife is named Sharmishtha. Is it correct? No, not correct. But Prabhupada says, but I think due to some reason he did this mistake. But Krishna doesn't care for all these mistakes. Bhavagrahi Janardana, he sees the mood, he sees the attitude. So as Prabhupada was pure in heart, the language of his heart is proper. There are many godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada who are more expert than Prabhupada in English. Very, very expert. Their expression is very academic. But they could not create, practically speaking, any disciples. They could not create. But by listening Prabhupada's class, by listening Prabhupada's discussion, Harikatha, so many thousands of people became inspired, and still today are becoming inspired, and in future, there so many millions will become inspired through his books. So because of his purity, because of his, the heart is pure. So Krishna, he also only notes down the heart, Bhavagrahi Janardana. So when he can understand that his heart is nasty, his heart is polluted, it is too much polluted to be rectified, to be filtered. It is not time. It is not proper time to filter this heart. So Krishna sanctions. Okay, you eat stool, you eat wood, you do whatever you like. But when we are little prepared, oh my dear Lord, I don't want to neglect you anymore. I don't want to neglect my spiritual life. The golden chance we have got should not be neglected. So then, the Lord can immediately read our sincerity, immediately. And the more we are sincere, the more He is ready to help us. So that we have to be very careful. That there is, I mean, duplicity is not possible with Lord. Duplicity is not possible. Because He doesn't see our external things. He sees our heart. He reads the desire and mood of our heart. Sometimes we complain, oh, I am trying, I am chanting for so many years. Still there is no change in my heart. Because I don't want to change my heart. I don't want. In the deep, here it is said, Antaridaye, in the core of my heart, I want to enjoy. So the Lord says, okay, you want to enjoy, so why you are complaining that after chanting 20 years, there is no change? I am ready to change, but you are not ready to change. You want to enjoy. So that's why there is no change. If there is true sincerity is a different thing. True sincerity can be understood. There is a mundane story, but I think there is some lesson. There is a boy, lazy boy. What is the time now? Time is there? Okay. So there is a lazy boy. It's completely lazy. So his father was old. And told, if you are so lazy, I cannot hand over my property to you. I will sell my property and enjoy. Because you are lazy. If I give this property to you, you will spoil it. You will spoil it. So then the son became afraid because his father was rich. And he thought, if I don't get the property of my father, then I cannot do anything. So he was crying, okay, please give something, you know. So then father told, okay, I'll give you something if you can earn only one rupee by your own work, if you can earn 1 rupee. So the son went out, but he saw it is very difficult to earn 1 rupee by working. So then he came to his mother and, my dear mother, please give me 1 rupee. Don't tell father. I'll give this 1 rupee to my father and I'll tell him that I have earned it myself. So then mother gave him 1 rupee. So he went to his father and told, he said, I have earned with my own work, hard work, I have earned 1 rupee. Please take it. So father took it and just with a matches he just burnt it. He burned the rupees. So then he told, why you burned it? Whole day I worked so much, why you burnt it? Now you bring tomorrow. So then again he went to his mother. Mother, you see, father burned that rupees. You give me another 1 rupee. So mother gave him another 1 rupee. So then he gave to his father and father again burnt it with fire. Burnt it. So then the son told, why are you burning every day? I am working so hard and earning this money. Why are you burning? Okay, you bring another day. So like these 2-3 days he is bringing from his mother, but all the time father is burning, you know. So thus one day son understood that maybe if I don't earn myself, he will continue with burning. So then he really went and he really worked hard and he earned 1 rupee. And then he gave to his father. And that day father wanted to burn it and the boy started to jump. Oh, what are you doing? I actually work very hard. Then father understood, yes, from his, you know, force, you know, he understood, yes, today you have earned yourself. So then father told, okay, as you have earned yourself, I don't burn it. So real sincerity, you know, our supreme father, he can, even material father, he understood, you know, sincerity, you know, real sincerity. So if he knows our heart, God knows our heart, what do we want? Whether we want to enjoy or we want to really love Him. So we say, now God, I really want to love Him. You see, I'm chanting. You see, I'm doing so many things. I'm coming to Mangal Arati. I really want to love You. But God is burning. You bring next time. Come next time, Mangal Arati. Chant next time. You know? So continuing. At last one day comes, a matured stage. When he really become, you know, serious, he really want to love God, really want to chant His name with all utmost sincerity, then God responds, yes, now you are really sincere. So because God can read our heart, He can understand the language of our heart. This is the only way to be really sincere to please God and to, you know, to get His attention and to enjoy the bliss, spiritual bliss of loving exchange with God. That is possible when we really want to love Him. As long as we are duplicate, God will give something, but He will not give the real thing. So maybe I can stop here. If you have any question or comment, we can try to, or correction. Oh, Prabhuji. Yeah, God knows everything. So He is telling that God knows everything, Krishna knows everything, what is going on within our heart. He knows our desire. So we should not ask Him anything, because He already knows what my heart is asking, what my mind is asking. He already knows. So why we should ask Him? He already knows. Yeah. Yeah, that is fact. Those who are in advanced stage, they don't ask anything except, they ask only one thing, that I want to love you purely, and I want to get the association of pure devotees, those who love you really. Because with their association, the love of Godhead will be enriched. So I want the association of pure devotees, and I want to love you. Accept these blessings. The devotee, pure devotee, advanced devotee, they don't ask anything from God.
Okay, so that's what I was told.
Yeah, but that is those who are really pure. Those who are really pure. But in general, you know, many bodies are not pure like that, you know. So that's why they want to ask God. And God reciprocates. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says four types of devotees are there. Somebody is asking money. Somebody is asking, you know, artho, jiggashu, arthati. Somebody is praying to God in times of danger. Artho, jiggashu. Somebody is inquisitive to know about God. So there are different kinds of devotees. But those who are pure devotees, they really do not ask anything material. They ask only to get a chance to love God and to have association of devotees. But in lower stages, God says, okay, you have the, you know, tendency to ask something material. Okay, you ask, no problem. Still, I will consider you as my devotee. Artho jiggashur arthaarthi genicho bharatarshava. Four kinds of devotees are there. So those who are asking to God, they are also considered as devotees, lower grades devotees. You see, the communist and atheist, they don't ask to Lord. Even if they need some material thing, they don't ask to God. They try themselves. The communist and all this. But those who are devotees, they ask God. Once Bhaktichara Maharaj said, okay, be natural. If you think that I am in lower stage, then I can ask God, okay, God, you know, oh Krishna, give me this, give me that. Better to be natural. Because my mind is asking one thing and my words is different, what is the use? Maybe I can try to improve the condition of my heart, improve the condition of my mind. But as long as I am in the lower stage, I can ask God instead of asking some demigods or instead of asking some political leaders. Okay.
I'd like to question another way. I feel embarrassed sometimes.
Okay, if you feel embarrassed, it's better not to ask. Okay, another question is from that side. Who raised hand? I saw somebody was raised. Oh, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Your blessing. Okay. Nice question. Anichchannapi varshneya valadivo niyojito. I don't want, but still somebody is forcing me. I don't want to do bad things, but still I have bad desires. So that is there. It is like a balance. You have seen, if you go to village market, they have balance like, you know, like two part of the balance. One part they put the measurement, what is called that? Weights. Another part they put the things. Like vegetables. So sometimes the weights are more, vegetables are less. So what they do then? They put more vegetables. So actually at the present stage, in immature stage, we have a competition between material desire and spiritual desire, between good and bad, you know, there is a competition. So now we have to be expert enough to put more in the spiritual side, so that then one spiritual side is more, first it will become balanced, then go up high. So the competition is there, because although we like to become, it is natural, because the material desires are giving us disturbance, giving us pain, giving us troubles. We cannot give it up. At the same time we understand, these stupid things is giving me trouble. So that's why we have to increase our devotional life. So if the balance of devotional life is increased, then automatically this will, step by step, it will go. Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your very inspired class. I can't help, I'll never forget that story that you told one time, which illustrates how when one is in knowledge, they have a different perspective on enjoying rubbish.
They say ignorant. The question is that in some class I told some story about an old lady. So Mataji, Ragatmika Mataji requested me to repeat that story. Isn't it, Mataji?
Yeah.
Okay. So there, in English there is a proverb, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. So this is a story about that, how ignorance is bliss. So in a playground some children are playing. And there was an old lady who was sitting there, just watching children playing. So she called one child, and the child came, and she told, "You see, I have some peanuts. Do you like to eat?" So the child naturally became very happy. Okay, give me. So she gave a morsel of peanuts, and the child took and started to eat. So the child was thinking, "Oh, when I will get peanuts again, you know, from this old lady." So once in a week, the old lady calls him, "Please come, I have some peanuts." So then again, the lady gave peanuts to the child and he was eating, enjoying. So one day the child asked, "So grandma, why are you giving me peanuts? Why are you not eating yourself?" So the grandma told, "Actually, I don't have teeth. Because I am old, I cannot eat peanuts." "Then why you are unnecessarily purchasing peanuts? You don't purchase." "No, actually I am purchasing chocolates. And inside each chocolate there is one peanut." "So when I chew the peanuts, I chew the chocolate, the peanuts I cannot eat, so I save it in a box. So once in a week it becomes many peanuts, so I give to you." So the boy started to vomit. Understand? Because he understood this is the remnant of this old, you know, ugly, you know, lady, you know. So then, see, when he did not understand, when he had no knowledge, that time ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. He was enjoying peanuts, you know. But when he acquired knowledge, oh, this is like nasty, then ignorance is no more bliss, you know. Knowledge will give you real light. Similarly, when we are ignorant of the real truth, then we try to enjoy this nasty material life. But when we read Prabhupada's books, when we get real knowledge by the mercy of Guru and Sadhu, then we start to vomit on this material so-called enjoyment. This is the story. Any other question, comment? Okay, Prabhuji. I understand. That is, you know, this is a material story. You cannot completely 100% tally. The mood is that, you know, if you are not sincere, the God will also give us material, you know, facilities. Okay, still you have material desires. So I don't give you pure devotion. I don't give you my real wealth. As long as you have pure, okay, you are saving. That is one thing. I told, one day you will become sincere, fully sincere. That time the Father is ready to give the full, complete benediction. But until and unless I am fully sincere, okay, you are saving, day by day you are advancing, but that is not our complete perfection. Finally, the Father gave him property, everything, but not in the beginning. So in the beginning, God fulfills our material desires. That's why he created Varnasram, so that even enjoying material desires, slowly we can enter into spiritual, complete spiritual realization. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharashramad Bhagavatam ki, Samavad Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Pramanandi Hari Hari Bol.